It was a day that ended in death. A day that ended in sorrow. At Whitehall Palace, Lord Parr was detained with royal business, so I interviewed the Queen's young page, a lad of 16. He was one of three people who had access to the Queen's privy chamber when she was absent, and could have stolen the lamentation.
No, sir. I swear, sir.
Garrett Linley was scared from the start, it seemed to me, of something more than my questioning.
I have never touched the chest in the Queen's bedchamber.
Have you never tried its lock? Or even been curious?
Never, sir. I am loyal to Her Majesty.
Listen, lad. I mean you no harm. You seem uneasy.
I'm telling the truth.
That's a northern cast of tongue you have. Where are you from?
Lancashire. My mother knew the present Queen's mother.
Ah, how was that?
She was once a maid-in-waiting in Catherine of Aragon's household.
And that's how you got this post?
Yes, sir.
Tell me, Garrett, are both your parents still alive?
Not my father, sir.
I'm sorry. How did he die?
He was imprisoned in the Tower after the Northern Rebellion. He died there.
Ah, now.
What, sir?
Your family history might make people wonder about your religious sympathies.
I am no papist.
No?
No, sir.
You're sure of that?
I keep telling people.
What people?
If they'd leave me alone.
If you've done nothing wrong, you'll suffer no harm. If you have, and confess to me, the Queen will be merciful. Just answer me, lad.
They want me to spy. They say the Queen supports the reformers.
Who is they, Garrett?
A man approached me when I came to the palace. He asked if I would observe the Queen and report to those who served what he called a true religion.
By that he meant the Church of Rome?
Yes. I refused, I swear.
Did you report this?
No, sir. He frightened me.
And that was the end of it?
No. He came to me again. He said that if I agreed to spy on the Queen, I would earn the gratitude of a very great personage of the realm who would reward me and advance my career at court. I said no.
What did he look like?
In his 20s, strong. He wore cheap clothes but spoke like a gentleman. Half of one ear was missing, like slashed in a fight.
Has he come back to you?
No, sir. I've never seen him again.
Walk with me, Sergeant Shardlake. I will show you the chest that contained the lamentation.
Garrett Linley was afraid, Lord Parr. And that's why he didn't say before. He's just a lad. He's frightened and he wants to return to his family now.
I'll arrange it. He's done here.
At least we have something. The man with the slashed ear. Both the Queen's page and the printer's apprentice saw him.
Before the lout attacked you and disappeared.
We have that name, Gironi Bitano.
It's not familiar to me. I will inquire at court.
I also found this scrap of silk at the back of the printers.
It's expensive. Distinctive.
It was snagged on some bushes.
The Queen's embroiderer might be able to find out who made it. The chest is through here.
We entered a small room, and Lord Parr closed the door behind us.
Do you see anything?
No, my lord. No scratches on the metal nor the wood. It was either open with a key or by a skilled locksmith.
The lock is new. When the hunt for heretics started this spring, the Queen had the locks on all her cupboards and coffers replaced. She had the only key for this and wore it round her neck.
Who made this lock?
Queen's own coffer maker. He's well trusted. He's been the locksmith to successive queens for 12 years.
Still, I will question him.
And he works down at Baynard's Castle. What we really need is an expert on locks. Someone from outside the palace. Your man Barak has experience in such matters, has he not? From when he did dark things for Lord Cromwell.
I would rather not involve him too deeply. He and his wife are expecting a baby.
The Queen's life is at stake, Shardlake. Just do as you are ordered.
Yes, my lord.
I will send the chest down to Baynard's Castle and he can look at it there. 11 days now since the lamentation was stolen, and not a word. Why? We'll get William Cecil to track down these three friends of the printer, and then you can interrogate them. They must know something.
Yes, my lord.
Now, I have arranged for you to question the two others who had access to the Queen's privy chamber. Come.
The Queen's fool, Jane, was a little round-faced woman who led a fat white duck on a leash. She had little to tell me apart from the fact that she'd taken Ducky, as she called it, into the Queen's quarters that night to show the Queen a new trick. But there was no one there. As they were leaving, Ducky had shat on the floor of the Queen's bedchamber. Jane Fool then announced that my crookback frightened her. I let her go and summoned Mary O'Dell, one of the Queen's chamberers who'd been on duty that night.
The Queen seems hard-stricken by the loss of such a small item, Master Shardlake.
She is, which is why I'm here. The night the ring was stolen, did you notice anything unusual?
There was a slightly unpleasant smell in the bedchamber, like ordure.
Well, I've got to the bottom of that, literally. Anything else?
Yes, but it's so small I hesitate to mention it.
Go on.
When I am on duty, I am always on the list of people to be admitted to the privy lodgings. That night, the guard on the door was a man who has often been there, Zachary Gorger. He stopped me and made a fuss about being unable to find my name on the list. I told him not to be foolish, but he insisted on checking the list twice before he found it and let me through. And he spoke to me in a loud, bullying tone, not fit for addressing a lady of my station.
Zachary Gorger, thank you. I shall discuss it with Lord Parr. We are finished for the moment.
There you are, sir. Your health.
Yours too, Jack.
How'd it go yesterday with the murder of the printer?
It went fine.
There's some bruise on your cheek.
It's nothing. My investigation goes on apace. I have something else I want to talk to you about. I'm doing some delicate work for the Queen's Chamberlain, Lord Parr.
I'd stay well out of that.
It's too late now. It concerns a stolen jewel, and your expertise might be of help.
No, not keen. The Royal Court is a dung heap.
Even so, you have something of a reputation there. I did not suggest your involvement. Lord Parr did.
Well, there's a thing. I am still regarded in certain quarters.
In truth, it's not a suggestion. It's an order. I am sorry. There is a chest at Whitehall Palace from which a valuable ring was stolen. Yet there is only one key, which the owner wore around her neck constantly, and there is no sign of forced entry.
Her neck? Is it the Queen? All right. And that's all you want of me. I look at it, see what I think.
Yes.
Tamerson will kill me if she thinks I'm putting myself in peril again.
It's just this one thing, Jack. I will keep you from further involvement.
Cats have 9 lives. You must be on life 9 by now. I know I am.
I am bound and to help.
And all over a stolen jewel.
Yes, it is.
If you say so.
I didn't like lying to Barrack, but it was for the best. If he didn't know about the lamentation, the safer he was. When I looked at myself in the mirror, I saw a tired face. I had an aching back and a sickness in my soul still at the sight of Anne Askew burning. I felt a deep sense of disquiet, of trouble looming. I was in a world of shifting ground. People were not who they said they were. So-called friends would turn out to be enemies. I knew that. But the Queen was in danger and needed me.
Sir, you have a visitor? The young lawyer gentleman who was here before?
Show him in. Master Cecil.
I'm sorry to disturb you, sir, but there has been a serious development. The apprentice, Elias.
You have found him?
What is left of him? His mother found him last night in the alley next to their house, beaten about the head and weltering in his own blood.
Yes, sir.
There's more. He managed to say something to her just before he died.
What was that?
He said, "Killed for Anne Askew."
He was a good boy. He did not drink or roister.
Elias lay face up on a straw bed in the tiny bedroom of the house in the shadow of St. Paul's Cathedral. He had been beaten to death, and his head was a bloody mess.
Tell Sergeant Shardlake what happened.
I'm sorry, good wife, but we need to know.
I heard his voice outside, shouting help. When I threw open the door, two men ran from the alleyway past me and away. Elias died in my arms. I warned him, talking about religion with his master and their friends.
Did you get a good look at the men?
They were young and strong, dressed rough. One was near bald. He carried the club that did this. Oh, what am I to do, sirs?
Say nothing. Do not alert the coroner. If people ask, say Elias never came back from his work.
Lie? To the officials?
Absolutely. We have powerful friends. We can protect you from trouble. We will hunt down these barbaric killers. I will arrange to have Elias's body taken away.
Is my son to have no proper funeral?
It is safer that way for you and your daughters.
Elias's death will not go unpunished. I promise you that.
His wages kept all of us. What will happen to us now?
He was killed the same way as Greening. He was just a lad and full of young life.
Do you wish to pray with me?
No, I do not. I want something done for that poor woman. The Queen would wish it.
I will ask Lord Parr. Listen. Greening's friends, McKendrick, Curdie and Vandersteen, they have all vanished from their lodgings. Nobody knows where they've gone.
So, we have two dead, the printer and his apprentice, both linked to the Queen, and three missing radicals.
Lord Parr will arrange to have Elias buried out on the Lambeth Marshes.
God save us. It's grim.
It's high politics, Sergeant Shardlake. There are always men who work in the dark.
I know that. Always to my cost.